Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the spaceships heading here soon. They're coming from the blood moon. Good morning to the last crier. Good morning to the whiskey flyer. Good morning to the skyhawk shaman. And those flag-waving slavin', those worshipful lot, lockstep, marching towards a future, marching towards their past. Because it is Friday, thank God it's Friday, March the 6th, 2026. March the 6th, 2026, and it's right around 8:10 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. Not far from here, not far from there. Not far from anywhere in particular, right next to the place you're feeling it. That special love tone, that heartthrob. Touch it, baby. Feel it deep inside. Yeah, right deep inside. Can you believe it, people? Can you believe these times we're living in? Ironized Cody found his place, safe among the human race. I see dots on a biology chart. You tell me about the ancient cart. Your canoe swims far and wide with prideful screams for wounded knee. I can't find my Celtic dreams lost in the seams to English slaughter. And you get hotter dancing with wolves. And I am left wondering, slumbering, lost to history. You have stories and songs. Your homes are full of blood-dried past. And at last you speak your tome. All alone, I am left with, where are my roots? Because I can't find them. Your museum of steel and bright, the light shines on a myriad of books, looks, the authors fight to be seen, known, for history's lost ones. But I'm still in the shadows waiting, wondering what the actual fuck happened to my roots. You know my roots? I call it quits kaput. At 19 they said go away. We'll keep an eye on things till you return one day. I come back after a few years, houses sold, rust and mold, strangers stand instead of friends. And the land gets torn and torn again, an empty global nothing place, a home lost to outer space. But at least the one true race abides, my roots buried under landslides. Where are my fucking roots? White trash in the landfill, spilled memories, pop culture and spiritual diabetes. In my Mercedes, racing for the stars, devouring cocaine, driving insane, from nowhere to nowhere. Roots severed, world empty. But I'm so fucking happy for your ironized Cody. For your Chief Seattle, for your casinos, I just want to find my fucking roots. Yeah, that's all. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Where are my roots? No, kidding, right? Kidding. Recently, last few weeks, we've had training at work. The training is designed to increase understanding of the local indigenous peoples, of the Tlalum and the Elwha tribe. And for us to integrate an understanding of this and a respect for this into our education, meaning our curriculum, meaning what we teach. We need to see the whole iceberg. We need to go deep. We need to get them interested. So it's been one long cultural Marxist kind of bullshit. And it's bad enough that I get paid shit. It's bad enough that I'm being asked to do things I shouldn't be doing at work, which is fine. It's bad enough that I'm witnessing the district implementing an acute psychiatric care facility on campus. All this is bad enough. But then I have to go and sit through this shit. And this is the shit I got exposed to at the University of Washington and other places along the way. This is the shit I've been exposed to in various corporate environments, to include Microsoft, other places, other spaces. I've been indoctrinated. I understand the history, and I'll tell you something. Where the fuck is my home? If you're going to say Mount Vernon, Washington, that's not true. There are still people that live there. There are people that never left. Probably some of the wisest people ignored the statement, go away, go away, go away, young child, go off to college with a smile. But while you're away, you should be wary of the simple fact that what you left behind is going to be gone. Now, you can say this is normal, that this is just the way it is. I was sold on a lot of just-in-time globalist crap, and this is perfectly fucking normal. But my home is gone. I have no fucking roots. The only way I can reconstruct my culture is through genetic testing. Yeah, that's it. That's my culture now. That's my heritage. Those are the songs that are sung by elders on Ancestry.com. I got pop culture. I got movies and TV. I got hip-hop rap. No, I don't. Where's my fucking culture? It's gone. It's dead. It was buried in Ireland hundreds of years ago. Where is it? It's gone. It's dead, and nobody gives a fuck. We mock the Irish people once a year. It has very little to do with the whole Celtic story. Doesn't really go into the fact that the Celts were some of the first that fought back against the Roman Empire. Did you fucking know that? That the Celts almost destroyed Julius Caesar. Did you fucking know that? No, we get to make fun of the drunken Irish once a fucking year. I got to be told twice in my life that people like me don't belong in technology. Where are my fucking roots? You want me to be sad? You want me to cry? Tell me why the population of Ireland between 1800 and 1900 went down. The Irish were still having babies, and they didn't all go to America. What happened to the rest? Oh, it was the potato famine. It was the potato famine. The queen didn't know. It was the potato famine. The prime minister didn't know. But the general knew what would probably happen. It was a potato famine. Maybe a little bug they brought from the New World to help out the Irish just a little bit with them having too many fucking babies. And if you're England, why would you want the Irish to have babies? Or to have any control of their fucking lives. No, you can rape and kill the Irish for hundreds of years and then pretend it's all okay. But where the fuck are my roots? If you're going to say the Declaration of Independence beat bricks, the Constitution, huh, that was a coup d'etat. The liberty's been flushed down the toilet, and this is the land of the afraid and the slave. Not the free and the brave. Where the fuck are the roots you're talking about? What are you talking about? What is this basis? And if you're going to throw Nietzsche in my face, I can toss Nietzsche right back at you. Because he would tell you that this cultural Marxist nonsense is bullshit 360 degrees, no matter what group of people were either praising or mocking, it's bullshit. There you go. There's a rant. So I was going through a blog long gone because of GoDaddy. And I serialized it to PDF and I was going through it and I found this post from 2012. It's a headline from the New York Post. Pushed on the subway track, this man is about to die, doomed. They took a picture. He was on the subway track. He's about to die. Why didn't you help him? And this is what Al Roker said as the conscience of New York City on December the 5th, roughly, of 2012. He said, why didn't the people taking the pictures help the poor man? Now, I want you to travel in time about 8 years to the year 2020, specifically George Floyd. Because the one thing I marveled at, given the willingness to stand up and fight the man, I marveled at this. Why did they take video watching a man slowly get suffocated? Now you could say, oh well, the cops would have shot them. If they tried to help George, you know, we will never fucking know. All we know is that neighbors of George Floyd, if you want to believe the fucking story, neighbors of George Floyd basically recorded snuff flicks instead of stopping the fucking cop. Instead of throwing bricks at the cop, instead of tossing milkshakes at the cop, instead of doing any other fucking thing, they took a video. If you believe the story, if you believe the story, it is emblematic of cultural decay. If you don't believe the story, it's just an op. To fuck with people. Next topic. You think something good's coming, huh? Here's some good luck fortunes from 2012 I found. Are you tired? Are you weary? Does your life feel drab and dreary? Despair not of this, my friend. I see happiness around the bend. Say farewell to those blues you've been nursing. Get in the habit of looking at the brighter side of life. You have a temperamental nature. You lose your temper easily, but regret it just as fast. You have a brilliant mind and enjoy reading and the fine arts. Your fiends, fiends. Your fiends appreciate your intelligence and like to come to you with their problems. You have a very sympathetic nature. A dark-haired person who is trying to harm you will soon disappear from your life, and you will be extremely happy. Yeah. Standard-setting directives you set must be followed, but the important thing is self-reformation. The words of appointment for accomplishment are pleasing, but the important thing is self-reflection. There is nothing you can do to gain complete satisfaction without self-reflection, nor can there be compliance without self-reformation. But put loyalty and reliability first. If you have faults, do not fear self-improvement. So this little message from 2012, I got it, you know, in Seattle, Pike Place Market, one of these weird shops. They had a machine that would give you your fortune. So it's ephemera. It's a little piece of debris from the past, from, 14 fucking years ago, roughly. And I don't know. The thing about this dark-haired person, a couple months later, just about like a month later, almost 6 weeks later, my sister Nancy was dead. She had dark hair. She was not my enemy. She was not a bad person. I will freely admit I did not respond to her death very well, and that probably led to my divorce, but she wasn't trying to harm me. So it was weird. When I saw this, I didn't connect the dots, obviously, because it was before it happened. And now that I look back, I wonder about this. I don't know who this dark-haired person was. I don't know. Next topic. Plenty of people replaced it, though, and when Bo Blimpdoc came along, the parade of freaks came out of the sidelines. Grinkin' time is almost here. Every fool should grab a beer. Stand upright for the coming storm. Don't be afraid to oppose the norm. Expect the fire to burn up high. And on a cloud, his time is nigh. Grinkin' time will be a hoot. Take a bite of the poison fruit. Your olden day times are gone. Your parents are buried in the grave. No one to save the lost throng. As songs say, breathe air into a beast. Something ugly, as Yeats said, coming from the east. An elder of you from behind the hill, casting iron and tired will, persistent and enticing, life and bread and water, the slaughter, the kill, tested watcher still. As day turns to dusk, land fills with fire, the city crier becomes a liar. When his whisper is heard, a muffled thump, the sun rises, you hear the bell, all is well, all is well. 100 travelers make the break as waves crash higher and higher, weary of their world gone by, staving off the brash young wolves, not taken, not broken, not ready. Steady, my child, said old Keith, all his teeth knocked out by Gergen thieves. Stake out your big stand, and he pointed beyond the hills. A killer wind is carrying us along, no song from Keith. Just passage. Grinkin' time is for the brave. A quiet chain around your neck. You can bust out, stop being a slave. Accept the blood price, ever nice, as forks give way to knives. And the lives are tossed onto the pyre. The town crier is first to burn. Did you learn? Did we learn this time? Did we gather wisdom and mead? Did we get what we need? Are the seeds abandoned on rocky ground? A sound unleashed from the depths for sly cheaters and grifter slime. A time turns over from corn syrup to blood, and like a dud this century ends. A rotten promise from a friend, a careless tryst with hooker fiends, and in the karma laughter is heard. No more words for this crooked scene spread upon the sands. A gift from the ages for those left behind. You won't find an exit, just the whisper. Welcome to Grinkin' Time. Have a nice fray. Have a nice fray. Happy Friday. Oh, have you ever heard of Jan Michael Vincent Price? He was born in 1948. He became powerful and great. He was a lord of his age. He was filled with monstrous rage. He was raised in a cage. And then one day, a very old sage said, Jan Michael, Vincent Price, it is your time to feel the tingler to go sing a song for George Peppard. Have you ever heard of Jan Michael Vincent Price? The Third World War left the planet shrouded in a pall of radioactive dust, under skies lurid and angry, in a climate gone insane. Here he comes to save the day, Jan Michael Vincent. fucking price. Jan Michael Vincent Price. He is a Lord of Boblimpdoc, friends, a Lord of Boblimpdoc. So there was a headline on Zero Hedge about Kuwaiti fighter jets shooting down three US F-15s. And I just want to mention that the new heart drug I'm on is impacting me a little. I'm doing the best I can to work around it. But it's helping, so I'm going to keep going with it. But yeah, it's made my mouth a little bit dry at times or a little bit weird or whatever. I don't want to talk about it. Anyways, there was this headline on Zero Hedge, plot twist, Kuwaiti fighter jet shot down all three US F-15s. Well, here's the deal, folks. This is probably a limited hangout. I'm not saying it is for sure, but I think it could be. One type of weapon that's evolved in the darkness at a rapid rate in the last 15 years are basically man-portable microwave weapons. These are weapons that are basically masers. They're like lasers. They fire a directed energy beam of microwaves, and this can fuck up electronics. And if the waves are strong enough, if they are refined enough, if they are designed enough to penetrate the outer shell of an aircraft, they can fuck with avionics. It can be like a portable EMP, but directed at a specific object. That is a man-portable microwave weapon. And we're at the point now where these types of weapons are probably out there, in part because once you figure out how to make one, none of the individual pieces is necessarily rare. In fact, probably some relatively intelligent engineering students at Tehran University could come up with a suitable device, you know, with basic stuff you'd find around the house, right? It's not that simple, but it's also not that hard. And so when you see these stories about random aircraft falling out of the sky, I would suggest you think deeper. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying the story of the Kuwaiti jet shooting down three F-15s doesn't make any sense. Next topic. Dan, they said he used rockets and missiles. I know. So let's go backwards in time to July of 2024, when I think popping smoke started. Now, has popping smoke lasted longer than I expected? Hell yeah. I didn't expect them to pull the trigger on popping smoke until they thought they were nearly certain that the world was going to turn over in 12 months. Well, it's been more than 12 months. It's been like 18, and very, very soon it'll be 2 years. Which means Boblimpdoc has lasted longer than I thought. You know, whatever. 6-7. In the history of the Secret Service, in the history of providing protection or bodyguards or any type of security at all, if you are protecting a person who could be a target and somebody engages the target, whatever else, you're going to evacuate the target. You're not going to like stay there. You're not going to stand up for an Iwo Jima shot. You're not going to immediately hear, oh, they shot the guy on the roof, and then, you know, do the Iwo Jima shot. Why? Because there could be a second person. Oh, Dan, there's never. Why is there never a second person? Why? Because a lot of this shit is bullshit. But let's just say in the real world, there could be more than one shooter. There could be more than one person on a roof. The very least, you don't stand up for the Iwo Jima shot. Of all the things that were really weird on that day in July, the one thing that was so fucking obvious is everything in the rule book of security was violated. Once that shot was heard, you know, Donald should have been evacuated. He should have been taken out of that area under protection, under guard. They would know how to do that. They would have an egress route if they knew what the fuck they were doing. If Donald was a 12-dimensional chess player, he would have requested it. If he had his own private security, you see where I'm going with it? I don't want to even dwell on this because it's in our fucking rearview mirror. And very, very soon, it just won't fucking matter. But there are lots of reasons to suspect that what happened in Butler, PA was, you know, Shakespeare in the Park. Lots of reasons. Not the least of which is that the security model they practice made no fucking sense at all, really. A lot like 10-7. Yeah, are we learning yet? Dan, you're so fucking mean. Okay, so there was a headline on Zero Hedge, and I could read the article, but I don't really want to. I sort of skimmed it. It has to do with certain AI agents that prefer Bitcoin over fiat, and that Anthropic models really, really loved Bitcoin. The crypto world is a wood chipper. It's been a wood chipper since at least 2011, you know, since 2010, 2011. And what do I mean by wood chipper? It's a place where you can dump fiat and it's just going to have almost no impact upon the consumer economy. In fact, in some ways, the crypto world is like a World War II bond, like a 20-year or a 50-year. Oh, Dan, I can get my crypto. I know, you can get your crypto out, dear, anytime. But when the time comes that everybody wants to leave the building, you're going to find out it's not so fucking easy. And that time is coming. And no one's going to trade food or water for your crypto. No one's going to fucking care. If the electricity's only on half the day, and that's the first part of this coming crisis, no one's going to pay shit for your crypto. You can beat bricks. Now, does that mean they won't try to force a central bank digital currency upon us? Maybe they will. I frankly don't think there's enough time left in the game. To some extent, it's that lesser catastrophe shit. People really need to believe in the reset and AI and aliens and all kinds of other crap, because without it, what do they have left? They have the Christian millennium, or they have Butkus. Meaningless, random collapse. And nobody wants to talk about that. The fact that the secret destiny of every government, every empire, every fiat currency is collapse. That's it. Never going to be different. Never going to be improved. There is no escape hatch. You're not going to build yourself the empire that's going to last, you know, forever. I mean, you could argue the Romans lasted a long time, because if you include Byzantium, they did. Technically till 1453. That's a long-ass run. But nothing lasts forever. Eventually, it all kind of falls apart. All of it. So I don't wish any ill will towards you out in crypto land. If you're a Bitcoin baron, if you're a Bitcoin bro, if you got a nice hoe and you're making bank, flipping and flopping, I don't even care what the price is. Is it below 80,000? Is it on its way back to 80,000? Didn't McAfee say be a million by now? Oh, that's not right. He is dead. He is dead, just like the Las Vegas faker. You know, the guy who said he would live to be 200 years old. The anarchist who had a friend that worked at DARPA. Just like that, yeah. No, I think it's bullshit. Next topic. But good luck with the AI buying your crypto, though. That's going to work out wonderfully. Really, really great. So I have a list of special friends. You don't have to look at it. If you think I'm going crazy, that's okay with me, too. I don't know. It's possible that I have been an undiagnosed schizophrenic for most of my life. I don't believe it's true, but rationally, I have to put it on the table, because right now, things are too fucking weird. My magical visitor last week, best case scenario, he was InfraGuard. Period. Best case scenario. But in recent years, last couple years, certainly since 2023, I've asked a lot of questions about whether it's worse than that. And when I look back in my life, there's a lot of these weirdos who pop out of nowhere, intrude in my life, have a really kind of catastrophic impact, and then more or less I never hear from them again, with very few exceptions. I mean, when it comes to the Goat King, I kind of wish I would never hear from him again. But then Anna Banana Merlana, you know, needed my opinion that she never actually used. So there's that. Yeah. There's a list of people I've met. There's a list of situations I found myself in. There's way too many 1 or 2 degrees of Kevin Bacon connections to people in intelligence agencies. And it's been going on since 1981. Now, does that mean anything? No. It could just be random bullshit. Brothers and sisters, the human mind can connect random bullshit and create things that are not there. We should recognize this. We should be honest about it. But let's be clear. Probably 999 whatever out of 1,000 times you hear hooves, probably it's a horse. But every once in a while, it could be a zebra. And we've talked about that. We talked about that 3-4 years ago. Every once in a while, it could be a zebra. At this point in time, I'm beginning to accept the possibility that it's a zebra. And if it is a zebra, it's really a horse that's been painted to look like a zebra. Because in reality, I'm not special. Every single person you know out there right now is either an operator or a player. Most of us are players, which means we think we're in a reality, we think it works, we think it has rules. There is an invisible fence around us, but as long as we don't touch it, we're fucking fine. I mean, we'll probably get cancer and diabetes, we'll probably not live as long as our parents. We'll be told we're living better when we're living worse, but you'll be fucking fine. But you'll be fine. But if you touch that fence, you might not be fine ever again. And I may have touched that fence when I was a kid. I may not even have known it. Like, I may have asked the wrong question at the wrong time. I may have poked fun at the Pope. For some reason, people took it seriously. I was an outlandish kid, you know? So maybe in my single digits, I did something. Because it would have had to have been before or around the age of 10. Something happened. And I have no fucking clue what. After that, every few years, I meet a freak. And some of them are just ordinary freaks, you know? Maybe the guy's a pedo. I started suspecting that dudes that wear those glasses that are tinted, I used to call those pedo glasses. But if you're curious, you can read the list. The list has pseudonyms. I won't put people's real names because I'm just not sure. But the list has pseudonyms, and if you think you can figure out who these people are, good luck. Have a great fucking day. Everybody is just showing up. I took the first bus to Scompton and found my hooker wife, Jenda, dancing with Bert Gookins. I left her there at the bar and walked out into the sea, finding comfort in the cold embrace of the reefs. They are superheroes, the ones that just show up, showing up in their car, the struggle of choosing pizza and avocado toast, scrolling their TL, their lives broken by gawking horror. A young woman. She lives in a shed. NVIDIA could shock the world. A young woman, she lives in a shed, in an old shed, and this is shocking, NVIDIA is going to shock the world. Fuck. Fuck you. So I decided to listen to Trump's rant from a few days ago. Gosh, it seems like a million years ago in some ways. He had this rant about, you know, the situation with Iran after they started the attack, and it sounds crazy. I don't want to quote it. I have a link to the video. You can watch it. It simply sounds unhinged crazy. But if you've been listening to my podcast since, you know, let's say 2019, and especially in the last few years, you know that I think Trump's a calm of smoke. My biggest mistake in my life happened in November of 2025 when I, for a moment in weakness, kind of took him seriously and made a threat against him, and it was stupid. I truly didn't know what would happen. I wanted to stick my thumb in the eye of whatever, whoever, and find out if there's a response, and I found out there was a response. And I've gotten criticism about how I handled it. Well, you shouldn't have talked to them. There's no good choice with these people. There is zero good choice. I had people in 2020 trying to gaslight me into taking my 12-gauge down to the Seattle Police Department, right down the street. I had people, supposed friends, telling me that's what I should get. I should just go do that. I am not friends with these people any longer, nor did I take their advice in 2020. Do you think I'm going to start taking crazy advice now? This is not a game. This is fucking reality. These people can play with your lives your whole life. And if you think the reason why I got a phone interview is because I'm fucking special, you're deeply fucking confused. The same invisible noose around my neck is around yours if you don't see it because you're a player. Now, there are other people who are operators, right? Operators. I don't know if Trump's a player or an operator. I just know he's a column of smoke. I can't tell you who tells him to do what. I just know that he doesn't make those decisions himself, really. And if you want to make this about a group of people or a religion, you can. And frankly, at this point, it kind of does fit in a lot of ways, but it still feels like another limited hangout. It still feels like something that does not explain the literal poisoning, spraying of poison shit in the skies every fucking day. None of your fucking sideways Illuminati reset theories, none of your AI alien bullshit, none of your fuckaroo explains to me why it can be raining in Iceland and there's a snowstorm in Florida. And if you want to keep buying the fucking nonsense and staying angry, you can. All I can tell you is getting angry gets you a phone call. And probably a visit from our friend Bob. If you know, you know. Have a great day. But if any of my listeners who happen to be feds or whatever want to gaslight me into doing something fucking stupid, whoever you are, don't. Because I'm not gonna. I'm gonna make my own decisions. And if you want to do an AMA on decisions I make because I talk about them on my podcast, you can fuck off. And if you think I'm talking to you, I am, right? Think about it. Next topic. Okay, so there's two camps. Well, maybe not two. I don't want to restrict the menu. There's a menu and there are many items on it and you can order off the menu. I'm going to tell you one item on the menu. The war in the Ukraine is real and the situation with Iran is real, which means these are real organic conflicts. They're not contrived, they're not managed, they're not wag the dog. They're 100% real, which is, you know, just as fucked up, but not quite. So Putin has to be scratching his head right now, right? If he's real, if he really does have authority, if he is autonomous. Because I've wondered how autonomous he is, and I still wonder how autonomous he is and Xi is and others are. You know, Kim Jong-un or whoever currently controls North Korea, they appear to, like, you know, be type A personalities. But Xi and Putin kind of look like they're hiding behind the United Nations, which is kind of weird. But let's pretend Putin is legit. He has to be thinking to himself right about now, what happened to Colonel Gaddafi? Because if the Western war machine has decided to erase Iran, or at least its government, I'm not going to say it's guaranteed to happen, but it really is a war, a battle between a giant and a pipsqueak. And sometimes the pipsqueak can win. There was this thing called the Russo-Japanese War. It happened more than 100 years ago. And the pipsqueak won. And why? Because they had newer tech. They had torpedo boats. They had torpedo boats that moved pretty fast. And the Russian Navy did not move fast. And if you've got a bunch of torpedo boats and you've got an old Russian Navy to target, it's like shooting Russian navies in a bucket, right? So if you want to, you can characterize this as like the Russo-Japanese War, where the United States presumes, because it's big and powerful, that it's going to win, but maybe the smaller nation wins because they have pretty good tech, maybe. I don't know. I can't tell you. I think that there's a lot of tech that the U.S. government keeps hidden, and it's entirely possible that there's tech they're using right now that we've never known about and that they're going to use that they're going to keep a secret. So who knows? But my point is simple. If you think these are organic conflicts, if you think Putin is his own operator, his own decision maker, that he doesn't have an operator telling him what to do, then at some point he has to scratch his head and say, I don't have a choice. Mutually assured destruction only works, really, in two-person game theory. The problem is, and even Bob agreed with me when we talked about this last week, the problem is, since the 1960s, it hasn't been two-person game theory. It's been N-person. N-person game theory is like, jagged... I'm not going to say jagged arrays, but N-person game theory is a lot like trying to solve more than two equations in the planar space for the same answer, which means that you're expecting at least two, but probably three or more of these functions to intersect perfectly. And in that sense, you can achieve Nash equilibrium. It sounds like a lot of mathematical gobbledygook, but the bottom line is this: mutually assured destruction is based upon two-person game theory. Once you add another person to the game, it becomes a lot worse and more unstable. Another thing about mutually assured destruction and game theory is you don't assume the players are good. In fact, assuming they're good is stupid. And in a little bit, this is where you can tip your hat to Hanlon's razor, maybe, but forget about it because it doesn't apply. You don't assume they're good. What you assume is they're rational. Because what mutually assured destruction says, if your opponent is crazy, you don't really have a choice, okay? You don't want your opponent to pick the time and moment when they're going to attack. They're crazy, which means randomly they could attack. Your best move is called a decapitation strike, which means you take out command and control, you take out the people in charge, but for the most part, you leave the cities alone because you really don't want everybody hating you the next day. So in the United States, for example, you take out NORAD, you take out SAC, you take out probably a few of the subpens, and you definitely take out various pieces of infrastructure that support the system. You might even take out some of the missile sites. But what you would avoid is taking out all the cities. You might take out Washington, D.C. and a few other places, and it's horrible, but you might not take out everything. It's still risky because, in all likelihood, our counter launch from our triad would destroy the opponent. The submarines would destroy the opponent. This would simply happen. So, yeah, it's a crazy thing to do. It's insane, but If you're faced with a crazy opponent, simply put, you don't have a choice. You're now in a position of where if you do nothing, you could easily be destroyed. At this point in time, Putin and Xi have to be scratching their heads and saying, and again, I don't want this to happen. I don't want nuclear war. But if you think these conflicts are organic, then right now we could be close to it because at a certain point, and we'll talk about that next, at a certain point it becomes kind of inevitable. Anyways, next topic. Let's go deeper into this. Deeper. So, one of the subjects that's come up relative to the conflict is the issue of missiles. How many missiles do the Iranians have? How many missiles do we have? How fast, how quickly do we make the missiles? Whatever. I've discussed this on my podcast, and some of my information is dated because I simply haven't given a shit about studying warfare since the 90s, since I was in the Army. But back then in grad school and other places, I studied this stuff a fair amount. And one of the conclusions that the thinkers came to towards the end of the Cold War is that World War III would be a come-as-you-are war. And people might scratch their heads and say, well, Dan, what the fuck does that mean? What the fuck does that mean, Dan? Have you ever been invited to a party, but all you had were jeans and a t-shirt on? Maybe you're wearing sneakers, but it's a really nice party. And they said, come as you are. We don't make weapons the way we did during the Cold War. We don't make weapons the same way any longer. It's simply the case that that's the case. And sure, we may be on the verge of an industrial revolution where we can mass produce everything via 3D printing, but we're not really there yet. You can 3D print certain components, but you can't really 3D print the whole thing. The other part is CPUs. By the way, the weakest link in the whole issue of drone warfare, if you're not familiar with what a CPU is the CPU. Many things can be produced just about anywhere, but sorry, CPUs can't. In fact, quite literally, in every major nation where they make CPUs, the government is involved. They treat CPU production almost the way they treat the production of nuclear weapons, which means it's highly centralized, and there are not that many places that do it. which also means that these are, well, frankly, soft targets. If you think that the factories, the people that work at the factories, are protected behind walls like a castle, you'd be confused. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't security professionals and InfraGuard and other people looking out for them, but an intelligent group of operatives who don't use smart devices could probably knock out a few facilities, and for a while, there won't be any drones made, okay? And not many missiles. There are not that many places that make CPUs. There are not that many places that make CPUs for weapons. If you take out one of these places, you don't easily rebuild them. We don't have them on trucks yet. Not really, not yet. That's where we're at. Which means that in a lot of ways, what you think of as the next fourth or fifth generation industrial revolution, whatever, is not really that radically different from the past, because you still have a dependency, buddy, for all of your 3D, fourth industrial revolution bullshit. You still need a lot of fucking CPUs, and frankly, a lot of micro resistors and micro transistors and components that you cannot 3D print yet. But the CPU thing is special because the government would come down on you so fucking hard. Oh my God, I'm in Bitcoin. The government, no, the government doesn't hate you. The government fucking loves you. You're running a wood chipper for them. You know, you're tearing up fucking fiat. They love you. No, but if you tried to make your own CPUs, let me put it this way. They're okay with you 3D printing guns. They're even okay with you having a lathe where you can lathe out your own barrels. They're okay with that. They are. I mean, publicly they can't be, but they are. Don't you fucking dare ever try to make your own CPU. Of course it's absurd. You can't do it at home. Are we learning yet? This fantastic warfare that you think is so fucking miraculous and all these drones, they don't come from magic land. And the most important part of the drone isn't the wing or the motor or even the fucking explosive. It's the CPU. It's the microtransistors. It's all the components that I sure as shit promise you are not being 3D printed in the trenches. We do not make weapons like we did during World War II. Okay, for example, the MOAB, the mother of all bombs, I think we make a couple of those a month. Now, you could say, well, Dan, you don't need that many. Well, sure you don't, if you hit all your targets perfectly. But it looks like the Iranians have their missile sites spread out all over the fucking place, and underground, and well camouflaged, which means more or less undetectable from space. Like, you might detect the roads going into an area and out. You might even find the tunnel entrances, but probably not all of them. But all the little locations where they're firing these things, under the sand, you're not going to find it. In fact, probably, if you want to take out all these sites, you're going to have to send in troops, right? Yeah. Good luck with that. So it's a come-as-you-are war. If you've got so many weapons right now, you'll have so many in a few weeks. Back during the Cold War, the rough estimate was we could fight a conventional conflict with the Soviet Union for about maybe 90 days. I didn't say 9 months or 9 years. I said 90 days, that we could have a high-intensity, kinetic, conventional conflict, quote-unquote, with the Soviets for about 3 months, and then we would have no choice but to use nukes. And frankly, it kind of applied to them as well. I mean, maybe they could mass produce a lot of AK-47s and throw wave after wave into the battlefield, and believe you me, that's a Red Army thing to do, going back a long ways. But that's all they could do after 90 days. At 90 days, you were guaranteed that either the war would end or it goes nuclear. Or sooner. Now we're in a situation where, what if we run out of missiles so quickly, specifically the interceptor types? Because we don't make those very quickly either. Oh, but Dan, we can tool up fast. You really think so? All the security clearances? Oh, but the AI's not doing it yet, buddy. It's not doing the wire bundles. It's not doing all the microelectronics yet. And if it is, guess what? Huh? Hack it. Smack it. That's a weakness, not a strength. Good luck with that, buddy. No. You're going to need people. A lot of people. You're going to what? Immigrants? What are you going to do? Mega Man. Are you going to go against everything you said once again and make sure that all the immigrants, quote unquote, all the people you want to kick out are making you bombs? How are you going to tool up, buddy? There are a number of flaws in the Mega Man perception of what happens next, but here's the simple truth. World War III is a come-as-you-are war. We make weapons today a lot like they did 1,000 years ago, slowly. Okay? Maybe we could crank out thousands of bombers a month during World War II, but buddy, this isn't fucking World War II. Next topic. Dan, you're terrible. I know, I am Jan Michael Vincent Price. So, I found an article from King 5 about, you know, the Skagit River Dam being, the various tribes suing the city of Seattle, City Light, because of the dams killing the salmon. Here's the deal. There is truth to the idea that the dams that have been built on rivers in the West have harmed the salmon. That's actually true. But that's not the whole truth. In a lot of ways, this story, like all of these stories about dams, to including the dam they tore down around here, in a lot of ways, these stories are limited hangouts, buddy. And where does that term come from? Well, it comes from the Nixon administration, pal. I think someone in the Nixon administration coined the term. A limited hangout is where you get a little bit of truth, so you don't actually find the whole truth. Okay? You get trapped in a limited hangout. I'll tell you something. The dams did not help. But the abnormally warm water, which in a few cases in recent years have caused spawning salmon to have heart attacks as they go upstream. All the nasty shit falling from the skies. We don't know why. We don't know where. We're just too fucking dumb to ask. And that horribly inconsistent snowpack in the West. Yeah. These are things that we don't talk about. We talk about the dams because, hey, if we get rid of the dams, everything will be A-okay. No. If we spend $1 billion on a causeway to go around, no. In fact, there might not be enough water. In fact, the only thing that this settlement does is defers an outcome until it doesn't matter. There'll be no building or construction of this alternative path because we're never going to get there. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the robots and the aliens and the fusion energy and all of the Dr. Torpedo Head butt plug products save us. Maybe they will. I hope I'm wrong. It's Friday, March the 6th, 2026. Get your kicks on March the 6th. We're heading into the future. We're building a new world. We're getting ready, baby, to take on the fire. Don't be sad. Don't be crass. Don't be a liar. Just get ready, pal. Because Grinkin' time is very fucking close. Have a great rest of your day.